superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
94 yards. He is the baddest man.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Are you ready?
In the NFL.
What is it like to watch the object that is Derrick Henry get smaller as he goes away from you?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When I see him get in the open field with the full head of steam, that puts safeties and DBs in bad positions.
Earlier on the show, America's number one Tampa Bay Rays fan, Dick Vitale. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Tony Dungy. Host of ABC's Card Sharks, Joel McHale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Fun chat with Dick Vitale. We just hung up with
awesome.
Dickie V. He's excited for his Rays. Going to be in the World Series tonight. Game one on our friends at Fox. Joe Buck, fresh back from calling the Chiefs win over the Bills last night. He'll be calling that game one tonight on our friends at Fox with John Smoltz, who was our guest yesterday. So we've gotten, I guess we've run the gamut here. John Smoltz calling the game, Baseball Hall of Famer. He's been in World Series. And then Dick Vitale giving you the race. Should we find like a Dodger fan? We get Larry King on the phone or something that? Who do we get?
Mary Hart, I think, is the winner.
We could get Jason Bateman.
The caller makes a good point.
Thank you very much. Larry King, one of our first guests.
So intense. He listens to the radio broadcast while he's at the game.
Well, I think he was listening to Vin.
Yeah, that's
from all those years. Yeah, well, I don't know. But at any rate, so that's a lot of fun. Joel McHale, who's a diehard Seahawks fan, now the host of Card Sharks on ABC. We'll talk game show, Seahawks, and more.
Love it.
The Seahawks coming off a bye week, undefeated at 5-0. Seattle's opponent is going to be the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, baby. The first Kyler Russ matchup of the year.
Love it.
Off of what we saw last night, and Arizona deserves all the credit. And here to talk about that and all the news in the National Football League is a man who's a company I always enjoy. Pleased to be able to call him a friend and now a colleague with NBC Sports. Here we are on NBC Sports on Peacock. And this is how much I enjoy his work. I actually spent time watching Notre Dame football this weekend.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No way.
Yes.
Stop.
Yes.
Rich, you watched my boys.
Not yours. I was listening to Dungy and Tirico on the call.
What?
Tony Dungy back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Coach?
Hey, Rich. I'm doing well. How are you? And thanks for watching. We appreciate that.
No, come on now. I'm kind of now a company man being here on NBC Sports on Peacock. But I do enjoy listening to your call and listening to you work and your insights. And a perfect day for you to be joining this program with the news that broke literally 90 minutes ago that now is the time that Brian Flores and the Dolphins have chosen to turn to Tua. I wonder your thoughts on the subject.
Well, I'm wondering how much of that is medical and how much is, you know, missing time in training camp and the shortened preseason and everything. I like for those young guys to play. I think they gain a lot. I said on our show Sunday, Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing so well, we probably won't see Tua for a while. But I guess they got together and felt like just medically, preparation-wise, everything, he was ready to go. So I'm excited to watch him play.
Do you have a story from at any point in your coaching career, whether it's head coaching or being an assistant, where there was a decision to be made about when to start a youngster over a veteran that might, if you will, give you a better chance to win? And you saw something in practice and said, okay, this kid's ready. Do you got anything like that?
I just remember Denny Green was great that way, and he wanted to get guys in the lineup that we drafted. And I was always one way. I want to make sure he knows what he's doing and all that. And sometimes Denny's line was to the coaches, if Johnny can't read, sometimes it's not Johnny's fault. It might be the teacher's fault. And that was his way of saying, get Johnny ready to get in the game. I don't care what. And I took that to heart a few times, yeah.
So I guess Tua can read then. Should we assume that that's the case right now?
I think Brian Flores may have said, hey, teacher, he needs to have some A's on his report card. Now, I don't know what the problem is, but let's get him in there. But I think, you know, he's going to just get better and better. And just talking to Peyton, how much he learned his first year from playing. And it was a 3-13 year with a ton of interceptions. But down the road, it paid off.
Yeah, I know. Marshall Faulk tells a story a lot about Peyton Manning because, you know, Marshall was his running back.
First year.
He had a front row seat for all 27 of the interceptions that Peyton threw as a rookie. And he said the number of times that Peyton would throw the ball, it would get picked off, and they'd run off the field, and Peyton would turn to Marshall and say, I didn't think that guy could get there. And Marshall just let him say that a few times until about a few weeks into the season, he basically said, Peyton, this isn't the SEC. This is the NFL. Yeah. Everyone can get there. They can all get
they
there.
They can get there.
You know?
Yes.
And so I guess the learning curve for Tua might be steep, even though he's coming from the SEC just like Peyton. But just one last on the subject, like walk me through what you think the checklist for Brian Flores, who does appear to be as buttoned up as any coach in the NFL and does have this team moving in the right direction with Ryan Fitzpatrick. What is that checklist, do you think, that he did fill out before making this maneuver, Tony Dungy?
Well, they obviously knew they drafted a special guy, and you want to get him in the lineup when he's ready, when he can protect himself, when physically he's good to go, when he knows what to do. And I think all of that came into play. I mean, we've seen Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was phenomenal last year. And what are they, 1-5 or 5-1, something like that. He's thrown interceptions at the wrong time, but he's going to learn from all that. And so I think you want your quarterback to go through that. You don't want him to get mentally scarred. You don't want him to get physically banged up. So I think that was probably it more than anything with Tua. Does he really know our offense? Is he ready that way? And then physically, does he feel good about protecting himself? And if he does, let's put him in the lineup.
And obviously Ryan's been there, done that. He's been told many times in his career, we're going with the younger kid, I'm sure. But how do you handle that? Because he is so popular in that locker room. And you did see when Tua got out there at the very end of the game for a cup of coffee against the Jets, he was getting whichever fans that were in the stadium up on their feet. So how does the Ryan Fitzpatrick part of this equation get handled, if you will, Tony?
Well, he handled it like a pro, and he'll do it that way. But the question is, hey, we're 3-3. We're sitting there. Could we possibly get to 8-8 or 9-7? And could that get us in the playoffs? It'd be a nice way to roll if we could. And what do you do, Brian Flores, if Tua does struggle a little bit? You lose a couple of games here, and your team's thinking, you know what? We might have been able to make a playoff run with Ryan. But I think that's already been thought through by the entire organization, and they're looking long term. Hey, we think Tua Tagovailoa is the guy who can take us to a championship, to a Super Bowl. So we've got to get him in and get him ready. And this is a long-term, this is a 3-year, 5-year decision, not an 8-game decision.
Pro Football Hall of Famer, Football Night in America, NBC Sports Analyst Tony Dungy here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is Mike McCarthy thinking today, Tony?
Retirement really wasn't so bad. And last year looks pretty good right now. I never expected it to go this way for the Cowboys. The injuries to the offensive line have really hurt them. Obviously, Dak's injury. The defensive adjustment has been much greater than I think they thought it would be. I kind of felt it would be this way for 6 years. I think they've kind of got tuned into Rod Marinelli's system, smaller defensive linemen, active guys, zone coverage players, small, quick linebackers. You try to adjust from that. It takes a couple of drafts. And then it also takes a mental changeover, mental makeover, how you're going to play. And they just have not adapted to it. So the defense is struggling, and now you don't have that offense having 35 minutes, 38 minutes time of possession. So it's just magnified, and it did not look good last night.
Well, other than the fact that they're, you know, just like real estate, location is important, and you can look around at the rest of the NFC East and say, okay. But other than that, what is the fix, Tony? What is the fix for this team?
Well, hopefully you can get healthy in the offensive line and you can play the style of play that you played 2 or 3 years ago where you just bang and run and pound. You've got receivers who are going to get open against one-on-one coverage. So if you can pound the ball well enough, you can make some plays in the passing game and you can score. Defensively, I think you're just a year away, and I don't know if there's a quick fix for the defense. So the only saving grace is, you know what, 6-10 might make the playoffs. And so we've got to continue to focus on that.
So, but, I mean, in terms of a fix, what do you do if you're a coach and you see a run like Kenyon Drake had at the end of the game and you see effort? That's the issue. Effort. Want to. Have to. The concept that Dak is hurt, let's show everybody that we can win for and without Dak. And you don't see that. And it's a nationally televised game. And the other team is banged up, doesn't have Chandler Jones. You still can't protect your quarterback with an offensive line that is banged up as well. But what do you do if you're a coach and that's sort of the fine-tuning you need to do in a film room?
Well, that's going to have to be corrected today, and you're going to have to tell those guys that that's unacceptable. We won't, whether we don't win another game this year, we can't see that. And somehow you've got to get that message across.
How do you do that? Do you cut somebody? I'm serious.
I never believed in cutting people. I believed in just saying it just like that. Hey, we can't have that, and we're not going to have that. We're not going to accept that. And for my teams, that pretty much did it. Everybody's got their own way of doing things, but to me it would be just very simply that way. Hey, you will not get back on this field if I see effort like that again.
Tony Dungy here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the best team that you've seen on Sunday Night Football, watching from the studio and then getting to talk about it, predict it before the game. I mean, you are the only one who stuck the landing on San Francisco having a good night Sunday night. So I give you the floor on what you've seen with your own two eyes on Sunday Night Football so far, Tony.
It is still early, and we're still seeing inconsistent play, and we don't really know who's good right now. Mike Tirico, we had this discussion Sunday night, and you look at Cleveland, and I thought, hey, they're on the move. They've beaten some good teams. They've won 4 games, but they played 2 games against, you know, really good opponents. And they've gotten crushed in both of those games against Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Now, how good is Pittsburgh? They look pretty good, but then you have to ask yourself, well, who have they beaten? They struggled with some teams early, got down in some games and came back and won them. Seattle has won a bunch of games right on the last play of the game. How good are they? How good is their defense? I don't know that we really know. Tennessee has played well, and they're probably as balanced as anybody. And I still say look out for New England. Bill Belichick is the best. You talk about fixing things. He's the best coach around at fixing things. He's got a lot of work to do, but I think he can fix that offensive line. The defense will play well enough to hang in there. They'll be in there at the end as well. But I guess right now Tennessee and Kansas City. Kansas City's still good on offense. They can move the ball in a lot of different ways. Defensively, they had a down game against the Raiders, but other than that, they played pretty well. So I'm going to say those two teams right now.
And in terms of fixing things, do you think the Bucs have fixed things on offense based on the performance we saw against Green Bay that, yes, was sparked by a defensive pick six and then another interception of Aaron Rodgers, who never throws interceptions, and they got him in back-to-back possessions that started the ball rolling? Do you think it has been fixed prior to this Sunday night game that you've got on NBC coming up this week, Sunday night, Tampa Bay at Vegas? What do you think, Tony?
Well, Tom Brady is going to get better and better. He's always impressed me as a timing chemistry guy, and he's going to build that timing and chemistry with his receivers. The more the season goes on, the better he's going to get. The key to the Buccaneers, can they protect Tom? If you can rush him with 4 guys, which Chicago was able to do, you're going to have a chance to stop him. If you can't rush Tom Brady with 4 guys, if you have to blitz, he's too smart, he sees the blitz, he gets rid of the ball, they've got people who can beat one-on-one coverage. If you choose not to blitz but you can't rush him, he's going to pick you apart. So the test for the Bucs to see if it's fixed, can you play a team like Chicago that can pass rush with 4 guys and create havoc? And if you can protect, then you'll be in good shape. But I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Is it totally there yet? I don't think so.
And what about Vegas? I mean, they just had their biggest win in years by beating Kansas City. That one in the loss column for Kansas City might stay there as just the number one for quite some time. They're welcoming in Tom Brady into their house. What do you make of the Raiders so far here?
The Raiders, I think, are going to have trouble. This matchup is now just the opposite. They're going to have to deal with Tampa with a stout front seven that's not going to let them run the ball, a variety of different things. They hit Kansas City on some blitzes, and they hit them on some big plays. I don't know that they'll be able to do that to Tampa. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball effectively at all against Tampa. So, again, this is going to be on Derek Carr to outplay Tom Brady. Can he outplay Mahomes and Brady back-to-back weeks? That's a tall ask. So I think it's going to be a great game. You have to tune in on Sunday at about 7:30 p.m. to find out what I really, truly think.
Now look at you being a next-level broadcaster, Tony. Opinionating, teasing, promoting all at once. Look at you. That was impressive. That was
I'm learning.
That was next level. Well, you're learning from Tirico. I mean, you're sitting next to a Rolls Royce every single weekend, sir. But you already knew that. You knew that.
No, he's the best. He is great.
No.
I have enjoyed working with him. He has helped me. I have not really done a lot of play-by-play, and he has just helped me grow tremendously. He's great in the studio. Just so much fun to be around.
Well, last one for you. You mentioned Chicago. How real are they right now, Tony?
They're starting to play defense again like they did 2 years ago. And we have to remember, that was their formula.
Right.
They played tremendous defense, got the takeaways. They ran the ball well. Mitch Trubisky made enough plays. They've got the right kind of quarterback to play this style. The NFC is not super loaded. I think they could get going. And they're going to believe in Nick Foles. He's going to make just enough throws in those critical situations. I would look out for Chicago in the second half of the year.
And I'm mandated before I let you go to ask you to expound on what do you mean the right kind of quarterback, since you know that has been the fault line conversation in Chicago last couple of years, moving to Foles this year.
First of all, you have to have thick skin to play quarterback in Chicago. You have to realize that our defense is what is going to carry us. And I may not put up gigantic stats and gigantic numbers, and there will be people every week saying, oh, the quarterback should have done this, if it hit this pass. You can't worry about that in Chicago. You just got to say, you know what, if we win a bunch of games 20-17 and 17-16 and I make the critical throws and my team believes in me, that's all that matters. And I think Nick Foles has that mentality.
So are you saying that having not just one but two stints in Philadelphia grows thick skin for a quarterback, Tony? Is that
probably what helped them tremendously?
Thanks for the call, Tony. I greatly appreciate it. It's always wonderful to catch up
with you, Rich.
Right back at you. That's Tony Dungy, who I also follow on Twitter. He's just got so many different ways of saying something so make you smarter. Buccaneers, Raiders. I love this matchup. I wonder if Al thinking about. I got to call him later. I owe him a call. I need to call him.
Okay.
Do you think he's trying to figure out a way to, you know, put some on the pass line? A little bit, bit of odds in the back.
If you talk,
roll a bone.
Let's talk offline, because if you talk to Al, I just need him to put down some action for me.
See, now I, as an NFL employee, am not allowed to walk into a game of chance during the National Football League season. I know this, and I need to make sure everybody that's out there, potentially in the Peacock audience from NFL Human Resources, I'm very well aware.
But you can have Al do it for me. That's not a violation.
Like what? $5? A little taste?
A little taste.
Oh, green.
Last time I was in Las Vegas, Nevada, by the way, not during a football season, I told you I went on a red-hot streak one night at the craps table. Mm. Red-hot. One of the greatest moments of my life was hitting a hard 10 that table, which was, as they say in the business, wired. Mm. That table was wired when I hit that hard 10. And one of the people at the table for whom I hit the hard 10 and then chest-bumped Wade Phillips.
No way.
Yes. Wade Phillips ran into him. Hey, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm right over here. You want to join? Yeah, sure. Wired table, hard 10.
Is there anything?
55, double nickel, Willie McGinnis, Junior Seau. Oh, it looks so beautiful right on the table.
Is there anything better when something like that happens at a craps table and everyone just goes nuts?
You know what's worse?
Obviously.
I mean, of course. I mean, obviously.
Who's come?
What's worse is seven out and you hear that roar on another table.
Oh.
You're at the wrong spot. Yeah. Lady Luck is not smiling upon you.
Oh, baby.
But a bunch of idiots you've never met.
Yeah. They're down there going.
And you're like, wait a minute. But again, not during a football season.
No, of course
not.
Let's take a break. Four downs, people. Four downs. My two cents on the American Football Conference East, a team with Super Bowl aspirations that lost this week that can chill. And a fourth down just for you.
Hey.
And your Lady Luck, sir. Hey, football fans. Are you an Amazon Prime member? Did you know that you can watch Thursday Night Football live on Prime Video? That's right. It really is the future of football because you can catch all the action on any device almost anywhere in the world. You can choose your favorite announce team, including Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, or Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah from Move the Sticks, or Chris Long and Carrie Champion from NFL Next. Get next-gen stats, too. Watch in-game replays on demand, all within Prime Video's X-Ray. Next-gen stats are real-time stats powered by AWS. No more waiting around. You can access the current stats anytime. Need to check how your fantasy player is doing? Well, this is the ideal way. Need to check how your fantasy player is doing? Well, this is the ideal way to stay up to speed. In-game on-demand replays are accessible on your remote, on Fire TV, or by turning your mobile device sideways. So, if you're a streamer or simply want the most custom way of watching Thursday Night Football, tune in live every Thursday starting October 8th. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. and kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. Eastern on Prime Video. Also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. Thursday Night Football is presented by Bud Light Platinum. I forgot to even ask Dungy, because he's a Tampa guy too. I believe he lives in Tampa.
Oh.
Titletown, as Dick Vitale called it.
Dick Vitale
like it's Green Bay.
Fired up, dude.
That town must really be into it. And I guess the fourth would be, if they win the World Series after hoisting Lord Stanley's chalice and then wins the Super Bowl, the fourth would be Gasparilla.
Gasparilla's going down.
Mitch Eisen is awesome, baby, with a capital A.
I mean, new drop, everyone. New drop. But it's still tough to beat the drop of the year, which we had the first Peacock Day when we dropped Belichick saying, I don't even know what an audio drop is. That is just this great.
I don't even know what an audio drop is.
Come on now.
Mine, do your job.
There you go. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. The Belichick greatest hits. Three words we want to hear in the business. Three words we in the business want to hear, even though we shouldn't. Well, I'll admit it. I'll admit it. I try to admit when it's appropriate and at all times, to be honest with you. But the three words we want to hear, certainly after a Monday night debacle like last night, three words, anonymous Cowboys quotes are three words. Anonymous, and in case you need a fourth to make sure we're not talking about Oklahoma State, anonymous Dallas Cowboys quotes.
Mm-hmm.
My colleague Jane Slater's got him. She's got him.
Oh, she's got one.
She's got one.
She's got one.
What does Jane Slater have?
Cowboys.
She, by the way, is as locked in with the Dallas Cowboys as any human being on planet Earth.
Indeed.
So if Jane Slater's got an anonymous Cowboy quote, you can take that one to the bank. And the bank's open today, right? It's not a Sunday.
No,
but
bank.
I looked at my watch. Bank. There's not even a date on my watch. I just did that just for effect.
Thanks.
Settle down just a little bit.
Okay, sorry, Mr. Jones.
Cowboys players initially bought into keeping things internal. Now, as they sit 2-4, the discontent is leaking out on the coaching staff. Quote: totally unprepared.
Ooh.
They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly.
Oh.
Another quote. They just aren't good at their jobs.
Oh. Anonymous Cowboy quotes. Everybody. Everybody.
Deal, Smith.
Anonymous Cowboy quotes. Are you saying that there's a way to massage the situation? Mike McCarthy?
That's well done, Rich.
Dr. Jones with my rubber glove is going to make sure every one of you are safe.
Mm, that is the that is the drop of the year.
That's right. That is number one.
Oh, my word. Knives are out. Could it be possible? Let me just posit this and deposit this right in your lap, sir. TJ Jefferson and the rest of Cowboys Nation. Is it possible that the Cowboys made the wrong move moving on from Jason Garrett?
No.
Stick with the devil you know before moving on to a different situation. And by the way, this is on the Joneses, too. They're the ones who tapped Mike McCarthy. If you recall, it was obvious Jason Garrett was going to be moving on, and they held on to him. Remember that? We were wondering. I said it was the Jewish goodbye of coaching changes at the time. It's just
that.
Like,
that
it's
was,
just like, when are we going to say goodbye? It's like, it was like me and my Uncle Myron and Aunt Isabel and my parents in a foyer.
Uncle Myron.
On Thanksgiving Day, getting ready to say goodbye to each other. It was the Joneses and Jason Garrett.
One of our
Kyle Brandt. I have a Jewish goodbye with Kyle Brandt all the time. I don't want to say goodbye to him. It's so enjoyable. It's
like
we hug it out.
I get it.
Hey, we'll do it again on Wednesday in his usual spot, right in the middle of this second hour on a Wednesday. But could it be possible that sticking with the devil you knew was better than bringing on a staff that you're also saying you got to stick with Kellen Moore? Mm-hmm. And who's your defensive coordinator? Mike Nolan, who's, I don't know, who's not teaching. Learning them up. Who's unprepared is the worst thing you could call a coach.
I'm going to pet
unprepared is the worst. What's worse?
That's a bad word in anything.
Anything. Yeah.
It is true. Anything.
If I'm unprepared.
How do you prepare for this show, Mike?
It's a long and
tedious. We don't have enough time for this morning.
Not going to lie. This morning was a lot of preparation.
You know what? You should have another drop of Brian Gumbel on Real Sports saying the words, moving on. That would have been a moment where you could just hit that drop. Moving on.
Rich, I'm going to spend the rest of this weekend, rest of this week, penning an open, passionate letter to Eric Bieniemy and asking him to come on down to Dallas.
One and done, Mike McCarthy. And we're a little too early. You're 2-4.
All right, hold on.
You're 2-4. And you're a half game in front of the pack.
That's a shame.
Nobody's going to lap you. But if somebody does, they'll one and done them.
Cowboys?
Oh, Don, boy.
We haven't even got to that yet.
Do you have Stephen A. Smith's
tweet from last
night?
It's cool if you don't have it back there, Don. It's cool.
Oh, he's got commercial music playing.
That's right. Such a shame.
Oh, dang it.
Please search it out.
I think you look so forward to seeing that, too.
Oh, baby. It was so good.
I'm throwing up the Joe Kelly face right now with that.
McCarthy got a 5-year deal.
Oof.
For at least $30 million. You're just going to eat?
No.
You're not going to eat that.
There's no Eric Bieniemy coming.
You're doing that.
You got to go 2 years.
Well, as I'm a free agent in 2021, this is going to be fun. I want all you fan bases to write me up. Tell me why I should come on and root for your
team.
Okay. You said that about the Clippers, and now you're back in. Now
I say a lot of stuff, man. I'm hurting. Still. I'm still hurting back here. Fandom hurts, all right? Especially when your teams aren't good, and I got to come to work every day and just get slapped, paintbrushed about it every single day.
I got to tell you, it did feel good to go in on a team that wasn't my own today. It felt like liberating. Really did.
Yeah. I'm glad you felt great about it.
Yeah.
After a sorry season, they'll still tell you they're going to win the Super Bowl. That's why I can't stand.
That's Stephen A. Smith when he appeared here. By the way, that was way back when the Cowboys got lost to Seattle, right?
Ago.
I mean, when they were in it. That feels like a different season almost.
That feels like a different year.
Yeah.
Are we talking playoffs or what?
Well, the Giants could, by the way. I mean, hey, hold on a second. Randy in Long Island, if that's who that was, right?
Yes,
Long Island.
I love
if you're
the way
out
you say
there,
that.
You got to call back because the Giants are playing the Eagles on Thursday night. Giants win that game. They leapfrog the Eagles. They'll just be 2-5, but they leapfrog the Eagles into second place, sitting there where Washington could beat the Cowboys, and you got three teams round robining at 2-5, half game in front of the Eagles. I mean, holy crap. Now, the Giants beat Washington, but Washington will have beaten the Cowboys who beat the Giants. That is, by the way, a round robin I can't even figure out. Nor should we want to.
I mean, that is pathetic.
That's your National Football Conference East. And by the way, let me just pause here before getting to four downs and say this. Anybody out there saying Clemson can beat an NFC East team?
Stop it.
Pump your brakes. Because we, as you heard with Tony Dungy pointing out, Joey Burrow and his 60 touchdowns and his Heisman Trophy and national champion point at my ring finger, where's my championship ring? That Joey Burrow is getting his ass beat every single week in the NFL. And he is performing well. And we're still saying he's special and he's performing well. And he's getting his ass beat. Which is why Bill Cowher is saying to Trevor Lawrence, I'm a little concerned for you if you're going to go to the Jets. So, no, Clemson can't beat a team in the NFC East. No.
No.
But the NFC East, in terms of the NFL, stinks on ice.
In a way that
we have not seen ice stink.
No.
Maybe ever.
It's bad.
And by the way, what is stink on ice? That's a New York, New Jersey phrase, right? Stink on ice?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where is that from?
You're the only person I know that uses
no,
that.
No, I've heard that term forever.
We grew up around stink on ice. It's been, I don't know.
Oh, that's
that
been around
is.
Forever.
Because I imagine that ice does not stink, or you can actually, if ice is in an old freezer or whatever, it can actually stink.
Yeah, ice can smell.
Okay, very good. All right, you ready for four downs right here?
I am Rich ready.
Here we go. Here's four downs right here on the Rich Eisen Show, please. If you guys can...
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go.
Why did you stop?
First down.
I submitted this as first down before the big news of the day here on this Tuesday, after 6 weeks of an NFL season, that looking at the landscape, the way that the Bills have looked against the top tier of the AFC, Tennessee, and now against Kansas City, and then whatever happened in New England this past week, the Miami Dolphins have a shot. The AFC East is there for the Dolphins to take. Flat out. They're only a game behind Buffalo, which I know has already beaten them, but the way the Dolphins look the first 2 weeks of the season is not the team that the Miami Dolphins take into the bye week, and now here comes Tua, and I am not here for you thinking that this is only going to regress the team. There will be some growing pains. There will be some times where Tua makes a throw that Fitzpatrick would not. And I would basically say to people who say that, have you seen Ryan Fitzpatrick stare at a window into which he should not throw and then hold his fire? I say to that, no. There will not be that much of a difference in terms of risk-taking. What may be a risk that a veteran takes will look at as a rookie mistake that you wouldn't pin on somebody that's played for 16 years. But I don't think there's going to be that much of a difference other than somebody throws right, somebody throws left, and somebody has 15, 16 years in the NFL, and the other kid doesn't even have 16 plays in the NFL. I think the AFC East is there for the Dolphins to take, and if Tua is as special as we think that he is, I think the Dolphins can take this division, which, by the way, when Peter King came on the show before the season and said, I think the Dolphins win, I'm like, what are you talking about? But here we are entering week 7, and that's not out of the realm. They're right in the mix, and I don't think Tua's going to hold him back. That's first down. Here's second down.
Second down.
Let's linger on the what the hell was that from New England. Let's linger on that.
Let's do it.
Okay, because I don't know what to make of it. That's now three straight losses for New England, right? They were 2-0. Now they're now 2-3, correct? They lost to Kansas City. They lost to Denver. Or they're 3-2 now or something like
no,
that?
No, they were 2-1.
They were 2-1. My bad. So now they're 2-3. And I don't know what that was this past week. I thought Cam would come off of COVID-19 list and the offense would look just like they look. Maybe it's the fact that Cam's never beaten Denver. He's just Denver's got his number throughout the years, okay? Could be that. Could also be the fact that they're
haven't practiced much.
They haven't practiced much, or that they're not that good offensively. That whatever they were able to pull off the first three games, that's right, they did lose obviously in Seattle, a game that they could have easily won. That that they might not be that good offensively. I don't know essentially what to make of them. And then you've got the team that's coming in this weekend in San Francisco. Are they the team that got their hides beaten by Miami? Or are they the team that we just saw against the Los Angeles Rams where they're getting healthier? I know that Raheem Mostert is out, but they do have some running backs that could take a spot. So the 49ers at the Patriots is a crucial Week 7 game that will start a trend for both teams, win or lose. If the Niners lose, then they're a banged up, up and down team. If the Patriots lose, then, okay, they may not be who we thought they were. And Cam and this Patriots offense needs to figure something out. Or they win, and the 49ers are that up and down team, and the Patriots can suddenly be having some connective tissue to the first 3 weeks of the season before COVID hit. This is a fascinating game to me. And I'm not just talking about Jimmy G back in New England. Did you hear Belichick shut that line of questioning down in a Zoom this week?
Yeah.
You know, once that got unzipped in a Zoom.
Careful.
Third down.
Careful. Third down.
Third down, everybody. Third down. Three. Third down. Here's the R-E-L-A-X moment that I'll just back up. Green Bay got beat. Sometimes you go on the road, even coming off of a bye, and you just get beat. You go ahead and you throw some picks that you don't normally throw, and it starts a something for the other team that's been waiting for weeks to try and put something together, and you're suddenly, instead of the speeding car, you're suddenly the speed bump. It happens. We've seen it. Take a look at Green Bay's schedule. Take a look at Green Bay's schedule, and I will say this. Green Bay is going to be just fine. Green Bay's next game is at Houston. I think they put up points there. They're home for Minnesota. At San Francisco is going to be the big one. If they can go in there and exercise the 2019 ghosts and put together a three-game win streak with Jacksonville and Indianapolis before the big Sunday nighter in Week 12 to take on Chicago, I think we'll just be talking about that Tampa Bay game maybe towards the end of the season like we were talking about that San Francisco game from last year, from the regular season on Sunday night where they got the tar beaten out of them. And I think they were coming off of a bye week then too. And we'll just see what happens. I think they're going to be just
fine.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers didn't seem too concerned.
Well, he said that they might have needed the old wake-up call.
Yeah.
You can only use the wake-up call card once. He's played it. He's played it, and I think it's an appropriate play. I think he knows his team.
Worth playing.
So I'm not worried about that. Yeah. You just tip your cap to Tampa Bay and say that that's the team that Rich Eisen picked to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. Wow.
Fourth down.
Fourth down. Hot take blank time. Now, you said I was going to be happy with this.
Oh, yeah.
Fourth down.
Yes,
hot
I
take.
Think so.
Okay.
Because
all right, what do you got?
Your lady love, the mother of your masculine child.
Indeed.
At a very difficult weekend. With the Braves getting bounced after being up 3-1 in the World Series. Her Georgia Bulldogs.
Yep, Georgia Bulldogs.
Got Crimson Tided, right? But there was one bright spot of the weekend, was there not?
There was. There was what?
The Raheem Morris coached Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to say this. I look at the schedule. I see Matt Ryan. That's still there, right? Julio Jones scored twice. Not just once, but twice.
Big game for Julio.
How did Todd Gurley look?
He's looked pretty good this year, man.
Rodgers or Todd Gurley?
Pretty
you
good
go
this year.
Rodgers Todd Gurley. Here's my fourth down. I'm not going to quantify it, but the Atlanta Falcons in Week 15, Week 16 are going to be in the hunt for the seventh seed.
What?
In the NFC. They're sitting here at 1-5.
That's pretty spicy.
They will be in the mix for the seventh seed. We'll be sitting there around
sniffing it, Rich.
Well, sniffing it. But right now you're thinking they could just break the team up and destroy it and get ready for next year.
Oh, everyone thinks they should be sellers.
I don't know about that. I think Arthur Blank's going to see the fact that they've got Detroit at home. Then they've got at Carolina on a Thursday night. They're suddenly 3-5 before having Denver and then a bye week. And then outside of that bye week comes the annual rondelay with the New Orleans Saints, where just when you think that they stink and there's no shot, they go into some place like the Superdome in Week 11 and beat them. How many times have we seen that, Chris?
It's happened often.
They've got two against New Orleans and then two against Tampa. Literally, you throw the records out when these teams play each other. Every year, we've seen it year in, year out. Kind of don't like the AFC West games that are out, sitting out there late.
Yeah, that's a tough schedule after the bye week.
I know it. That's why I'm clutching the hot take plank right now.
Yeah.
But going into the bye at 3-4, 3-5, or even 4-5, maybe?
If they're 4-5 into the bye, if they can rattle off the next three straight.
You might need 6, 7, 8 wins to get that 7th seed, maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. Giving you something to hang your hat on in my fourth down this week.
I like it. They did look really good. I mean, I don't know if that says more about Minnesota or that says more about changing a coach and getting the offense going, but Todd Gurley does look really good.
And that's one.
It's one.
Could Raheem Morris...
Week to week.
If he goes on a run, he could save. He could. You just remove the interim there.
Yeah.
If it works.
I think so.
I don't think. And again, November, it's election day is the
trade.
So we're literally 14 days away from trade deadline. Who are you going to trade? Who would you trade?
For the Falcons?
Yeah.
I mean, you could Julio? Trade. You could send Matt Ryan to Dallas right now.
Oh, boy. Come on. Tom Bowie just said Fitzpatrick to Dallas.
Well, if you're Dallas, you can win the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan as your quarterback.
I don't know if they'll do something like that. Could you imagine? Oh, boy.
I have no answers.
You could send Julio to New England, that's for sure.
Of course.
Well, Julio would be a major part for a bunch of teams that could really use him.
Yeah. He's 31. Take that.
Would you get a one for him? You should probably get a one for him.
I would give a
or
one.
Or a high two?
I would give a one for Julio.
You would?
Oh, yeah.
He's got a lot of years left on a big, fat deal, doesn't he?
I think so.
31, and he's constantly banged up.
I mean, I know,
Don,
you just said Julio's too old. T.O. pointed out on Twitter he was 31 when he got traded to Philadelphia.
Well, T.O. still thinks he could play right now.
T.O. is 31, went to Philadelphia, and was a monster in 2004, so...
Falcons are intriguing. That's why I chose
They're
them
intriguing.
For my fourth down.
They're intriguing.
Plus, I'm all out of hot takes with the Jets. I can't. I've reached bottom. Kind of like the team.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that out loud because there's always more of a bottom for the Jets when you think there isn't. Shoveling. So we'll take a break. Phone lines are lit. We'll take your phone calls. Anonymous Cowboys quotes. Everybody, check out Jane Slater's Twitter feed for that. Fantastic. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck. 404-204 Rich, number to dial here on the show. Your phone lines are lit. We'll take your calls in a second right here.
Rich, I got the stink on ice definition.
What is it?
Oh.
It was to be exceptionally rotten, repulsive, or poor from the idea of meat stinking with rot, even when kept on ice. Meaning the...
So it's the worst possible
it's
of
the worst
of,
possible
of
thing.
Rot.
That's pretty disgusting.
Worst possible rot.
Yeah. Stink on ice.
Stink on ice. That's where it came from. We probably never got the definition as kids. I definitely didn't.
I just picked up the phrase.
I just picked up the phrase.
I've taken it everywhere I've gone.
Yep.
Mm. Kind of like stink on ice.
Stink on ice. Mm.
You don't like it?
No, I mean, just the smell of meat rotting and stinking on ice is just enough to make my skin crawl.
The meat that Rocky punched. Remember that?
Yeah. Or
that was fresh meat.
That was fresh meat, right?
Yeah, that was fresh.
Carbone.
Broke the ribs. Paulie just cut that up.
Carbones. Yeah, stinks on ice.
Carbones stinks on ice.
Carbones.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show here on NBC Sports on Peacock, back here on our radio networks as well. So I'll tell you what, man.
Tell you what, man.
The ship be sinking in Dallas. If Jane Slater is talking to players who are like, quote me anonymously, this coaching staff is not prepared. They don't teach. Man.
Yikes.
I mean, what do they do then? What do they do? It does look like things are just none of it's working.
Yeah, nothing.
They did come out playing fast last night, and they did speed Kyler Murray up, who looked overhyped to be back in that building where he still has never lost as a high school player, a college player, and now a professional football player. He is so good, man. He is so good. And when he's going to get even more under control and more efficient and more accurate, he's only just going to get more and more dangerous. That's why I thought he was going to be top five MVP voting, top three MVP votes this year.
Yeah.
I don't think, as it currently stands right here in week six, he's going to be top three. I think you've got Rodgers, Mahomes, and obviously Russell Wilson.
And the Titans guys.
I guess
Tannehill and Henry, I think, are in the mix. They're ahead of Kyler Murray right now, I think.
Right?
I think so.
Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
Big Ben might get a nod or two. Another, again, as I pointed out in my four downs last week, Big Ben, like Russell Wilson, has never received an MVP vote. But when you're, I guess I'm getting off the subject here, when you're seeing anonymous quotes like that, that is somebody who feels very comfortable that if they're found out, they're not going to get cut because they've got a huge, huge contract.
Oh, interesting.
Or they, somebody's feeling very comfortable. They didn't want to put their name on it. Let's go to Carmen in Mesa, Arizona. How you been, Carmen?
How are you?
How you been again? You're on the air.
Wonderful. Rockdale, 2-4, TJ, what's up?
Hey, Carmen.
Good to chat.
Well, of course, you know I'm a little TJ. Oh, you know what? I love that you turned in. I'm sorry, Rich. I didn't mean to interrupt.
All good.
TJ, I love that you turned into Bob Barker. It's like, come on down, DiNucci. I love that you said that. But you know what? They look terrible. They look awful. The defense, the offense. But my question, Rich,
yep.
Oh, and then you know what, Rich, we don't need the clapper. No, we're not the clap on, clap off. We don't need him back. We don't. You know what? If you were the coach, Rich, and I really want to hear this honestly from you.
Yes.
What is your solution right now? Because they are a mess.
I'd cut a player.
They're breaking my heart.
Carmen?
And they're a mess. But I still love them. I still bleed blue.
I'd cut a player.
Okay, I know you want to talk.
No, I'd cut a player. I would take a player that I don't think I need anymore. And I'd go into Jerry Jones's office and say, we got to cut this guy because I can't get the attention of the locker room without it. Or I feel the need that this person needs to be made an example of because I need somebody's, you know, to use, I guess, the Wilford Brimley phrase, somebody's, you know what, in my briefcase. I need to get that. That's me.
You have to go into Jerry Jones and tell him that?
Yeah, you have to.
All right.
I mean, if I've got 4 years left on a contract, what are you going to do? You want to bounce me and send me home? I can go back to retirement and make 20 more million bucks from you if you want to bounce me. Thank you for the call. And I'd suss out who the player is who said this sort of thing and then go sit that player down and say, what are you talking about?
Right.
Walk me through what you're talking about. And then if I find out that it's a coach that I trusted and that I'm fine, I take that coach and I say, I appreciate you being here. You're out too. But Tony Dungy, as you know, is a coach in the NFL and is a Hall of Fame coach in the NFL. He said, I never had to make that. I basically walked into the locker room and said, we are not going to do that. And if you want to get on the field, you're not going to make a play like that anymore. And if you make a play like that again, I will pull you from the game. You will not be playing, and that would be enough. But what if the locker room doesn't respect you? I don't think Tony Dungy ever walked in a locker room and had to deal with the issue and had to deal with the issue of disrespect.
I don't think so either. You mentioned that you think these quotes are coming from a player who feels that financial security. So here are the guys with the biggest cap hits on the Cowboys. Oh, yeah. Amari Cooper, Zeke, DeMarcus Lawrence, Tyrone Crawford, Jalen Smith, Zach Martin, Everson Griffin.
Well, I mean, you could probably go on and on and on. The Cowboys are probably right up against the cap, too. I mean, there's a ton of guys.
But
that's what I would do.
Those are your guys making the most money.
Jeff in Detroit, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you been, Jeffrey?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Unc, hope everybody's doing
Jeff,
good.
How you doing, buddy?
Same to you.
What up, though?
Hey. Now, listen, I'm just wondering, are we looking at the running back position as a value or is it being devalued? Because I tell you, Zeke Elliott just kind of struck a blow for running backs all over the place by saying, this is why you don't pay a guy. I mean, and it's sad because Dak didn't get his money. My question to you is this.
Yes.
Had the Cowboys not paid Zeke, what position do you think the Cowboys would be in right now?
Oh, man. They had to pay Zeke. Zeke was a must-have. And, you know, they built the entire offense around Zeke. And this was, you know, before Gallup. We knew who Gallup was, who they had just drafted. And obviously we had a half a season essentially figuring out who Amari Cooper was. And, you know, and Dak growing. There was no doubt about it. And Zeke knew he had that leverage, which is why he basically said, I'm off to Cabo to go work out with Marshall Faulk, and I'll see you soon. You know, I think they had no choice but to do that. Could they have paid him sooner as opposed to later and avoided overpaying for him? Perhaps, but that's the way that the Cowboys appear to be doing business these days.
Seems to me that the running game is essential now. I mean, look at what the Chiefs did. They grinded it down, and
they did.
You can take time off the clock, grind down, and keep getting first downs. You're going to win.
I'll tell you what, Jeff, and I'm, you know, Zeke is a guy who, took the responsibility after the game last night and raised his hand, and, you know, that's what a team leader is all about. But he can't go into a game like Monday night after Dak goes down and put the ball on the ground twice, and he's had a problem doing it. He's now had four fumbles this year. I saw Ed Werder saying that that's the most out of any of the top carriers in the National Football League, and he's got 900 fewer touches than all of those guys combined. And he's like, if you took the top football rushers in the NFL this year and added up all their fumbles, he's got more than all of them combined and 900 fewer touches than all those guys combined. He's got a problem right now, whatever's going on. And, you know, and he's got a you know, and I say this all the time here, Jeff, that we have like coaches like Mariucci on, and Tony didn't say it, but I'm sure he's one of the many who believes that, to say, we just got to play better. We've got to play better. What's the fix? We got to play better. And you as a fan go, no, there's got to be something tangible. Like I'm sitting here saying, cut somebody. But, you know, there's got to be something tangible. In terms of Zeke, he's got to play better. Last night is the night where you say this. Andy Dalton's got everything on his shoulders right now because Dak is out, and he was brought in just for this situation, and he has trouble winning on Monday night. We've seen it under the lights. He's now 2-6. 2-6. That's the night where he should be in a lair for his team. 20-some-odd carries, 100-something yards, hitting people in the mouth and making them tired, making them not want to go back out there on defense, and making your offense chill. And that's it. Like, that's what Zeke should have done last night. Instead, he puts it on the ground twice. They have no choice but to throw Tony Pollard in the game while the defense can't stop Kyler, and then suddenly it's 21-3. That's the problem.
That's how you really feel.
I mean, it's the truth. That's exactly – and thank you for the call, Jeff. You're the man. You take care. That's it. That's spitting truth. That's what should have happened last night. It didn't. And instead, it wound up becoming 28-3, leading to the millennial who runs the Atlanta Falcons account to have the tweet of the night, right?
Pretty good. It's a pretty good tweet.
Whoever that person is.
Congrats.
When it was 28-3, where they tweeted out, you don't have to add us. We get it. We hear you. We know.
Yeah. You put any of that on Dalton last night?
It's on everybody last night. Last night is on absolutely everybody. Again, I'm not an all 22 tape head. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of those guys who. Yeah, I'm not an all 22 tape head. You write that down.
No.
I'm not. Like, so I'm not sitting here watching the game and going, "Oh man, he had this guy. He should have done this. That's the wrong read. All that." I have no idea. I'm just a fan who can sort of sense things and knows the way the game is played, and definitely know storylines, and definitely know how losses can manifest themselves and more because of what is on the line. This is the guy brought in by this team to say we cannot have our Super Bowl aspirations go down the tubes because Cooper Rush is the backup to Dak Prescott. We're just not going to do it. So we've seen other teams have Super Bowl aspirations go right down the tubes because their star quarterback is hurt. We're not going to do it. Their star quarterback gets hurt. Dalton makes enough throws to beat the Giants. And now here we are on Monday Night Football, ready to go. That's Zeke. That's Amari. That's Gallup. That's CeeDee Lamb. Let's go. And it stunk. Didn't help that the running back put it on the ground twice and lost it twice at all. But for one night, the guy who was brought in to avoid this exact result gave the exact result they wanted to avoid. Problem. News update and more. Joel McHale in Hour 3 coming up here on the show.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.